session number 9011, reel 3. Session number 9011, reel 3.
It was terrible. Of course, when you slice the boiler up, you slice the, your fireballs. He used to settle like glass on the bars. And when you got a slice here that weighed 180 pounds, he wanted some handling. See what I mean?
Yeah.
And then there was the heat, and all that kind of thing, and the fans, and the dust. And you had to bath every time you come off watch, That was the only...
What sort of watches did you have to do? What the Tenneker watch were they?
Well, there were three watches. So you got the... You worked... say you started in a forenoon watch. You had the forenoon, then the two dogs, and you had the, first. When you went and you had the first, then you fall right back to the... forenoon and the middle watches and all like that.
You're one in three.
Yeah. See, they had to have the dog watches to split the watches up, otherwise you'd be having the same watch every time. But when I was going through an auxiliary machinery course, we used to work four watches. That was peacetime.
Oh, the three watches came in during the war, did they?
Oh, yes, there was all three watches then. Well, matter of fact, when we was after a German raider known Moe, up in the Arctic, north, we never got her, but she got back to Germany where the sailors then was on hour on and hour off because it was in hurricane and it was freezing weather, and we never got her. She got away, got back to Germany, Well, they was working hour on and hour off, but with us down below, we were still working the 3 hours, three watches, I should say,
What were the petty officer Stokers like?
Well, they was pretty good to us, well, I'd been with some good ship's corporals. I'd been with some decent master at arms. And I'd been with some that I didn't like, See what I mean? By the way, I've got to be careful here. But putting all jokes to one side, I don't think the life was so bad. Considering putting the rough with the smooth, and there was good times and there was bad times, but it wasn't so bad because I never had much service in, Oh, I would have liked to have gone right through my service. Well, I my idea was I joined for 12, and my idea was that I was going to take on after 12 and give her a full pension and get a good rating. And come out and get a good job. That was that was how I had it in my mind, because I had a brother-in-law as a chief torpedo coxswain, and he served his time. And when the 1914 war broke out, he was about to finish, come out, and they asked him to take on. Well, by taking on right through the war, 1914 war, he got a bigger pension. Well, that was my ambition to. To do a good service, but I never regretted it, And lucky enough, when the Chester, just before I went to the Chester, I come home. My mum was a bit queer, and I managed to get home from Chatham, and I picked up a young lady, and she was only about 18, and. Eventually, this young lady become my wife.
She was a sister of the torpedo coxswain, was she?
No, she was a stranger to me.
Oh, I see. That's your sister's husband, wasn't he? The torpedo coxswain.
She was a stranger to me, and eventually we got married. Got married in 1919, and we had three daughters. And them three daughters... are all now married and got a good family. One was a wireless operator and a radar operator in the Second World War, and the other two was office operators. such as power summers and, you know, operating machines. And the one that's in the one lives in America, in California. She was a wireless operator and a radar operator in the Air Force. She married an American because she was attached to them. The youngest one is in New Zealand. She was a power summers operator. And the one that lives in Yorkshire, the middle one, she's worked in all different kind of shops, like a chemist, run tobacconists, run, and she's also worked on transistors and TV and wireless, all that kind of thing. And they're all got good husbands, and two of them's electronic engineers, and one's a blacksmith and welder.
Very good. Well, thank you very much again, Mr. Stevens.
Yeah. I hope I haven't spoiled
it. Not at all. Thank you very much indeed. Yeah. Name, sorry?
W.H. Brown.
Mr. Brown, yeah. You join?
And my hobby has been made all these crests.
Oh, marvellous, aren't they?
For all the ships. And while in the hospital, Stalin people have stolen them.
Oh.
It's a pity of them.
Yes.
We had one. It was the Polish, the director of Poland.
Mm-hmm.
He came along. He says they couldn't. They don't have crests, so they gave us a silhouette in white metal on a wooden surround.
Mm-hmm.
The ship. Made by J. White's of Cowes, and she was in with our ships during the war in Norway, you know.
Anyway, you joined in 1905.
No, 1905.
Yes. What was your father?
I was old ships. My father was a drunkard.
Oh, thank you.
You turn over and you'll see what it is.
Oh! I didn't know they made a special metal of that.
Yeah, well, so many of us got it.
Yes.
Yeah. That's a crest of Chester.
Yeah.
That was what the Admiralty named it Orne's Reef.
Yes.
Before it was named Jutland.
Yes.
You see?
What? Thank you very much. Thank you very much, Stevens.
Yes, different ships. Mm. I had the Trafalgar.
Yes.
That's the same type as the Victoria and the Camperdown, you know,
yes.
For the Victoria music town. Then I went to China in the destroyers. Then I went to the Cressy on the West Indies. Then war broke out. I went to the Cressy. She was sunk.
I know. You were in the Cressy when she sunk?
In the Cressy. We got another fellow there in here. It was a Cressy with me. Old Marine, he is. He's 83.
What happened that day?
Well, you see, we were old cruisers, out going on and keeping going round and round and round, waiting for the Germans to come out from Heligoland. And. Of course, the submarine came along and caught the Hogue and us, and we stopped, and the second one, we got that finally, finished. And of course, we were the three of us, so it was all out of it.
Yeah.
It was a terrible stroke, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Still. When he talks to me, there's a lot of old bullshit he gives you. But the boy Cornwall.
Yes.
He was a telegraph boy, telephone boy, for the after gun position, you see, on the quarter deck. He was terrified with fear.
Yeah.
And when you come to look at it, you can understand it. Yes. I can anyhow. Well, most people.
Yeah.
Yes, you know, can see them, all these flashes of guns going, you know, and they know, you know, the very, these guns going all and that sort of thing. The boy, any boy, he's only, about 15. Mm-hmm. You see, the boy was frightened. He was frightened of his life. But it was propaganda. Mm. Because the boys in ours, we had several boys in our ships.
Yes.
That was then the Ogabook and the Cressy. They were boys. They was down, didn't they? Nobody said a word about them.
Mm.
They said the ship, but then everything about the men was gone there.
Mm.
A lot of men who couldn't swim. They all they could go down with the ship. That's all they could. You see, they filled the ship. They're afraid of the water, and they finished. See, and I happen to be a swimmer. Good I was. And
it doesn't well for you, isn't it? yeah. What rating were you then?
I beg your pardon. I was a leading stoker.
Mm.
And I finished in ship's corporal.
Mm. Oh, you became a crusher, did you?
Yeah.
Why did you become a crusher?
Because I volunteered.
Mm.
And there was a hard up for men, you know.
Mm.
And I went to the depot. And I was on draft.
Mm.
No leave or anything.
Mm.
For the Lord Nelson,
mm-hmm.
and he stopped her until we were the kitchen. This is amusing. I used to have to go for the admiral's mails for the ships. See, for the admiral.
Yes.
Well, I used to go. Some of the ships are coal ones, you know, dirty.
Yep.
When we coming from England, see, to the Mediterranean, or perhaps Salonika, and we went to the Phaeton. The Phaeton was used for Kitchener on the advice of you to advise about the Dardanelles. You
yes.
see. Like he was come to the Dardanelles for the admiral to do a consultation, I suppose. Anyhow, I said to my opposite number, I said, Tony, I said, that's the ship I want when I go home, see, because we were going on, like, because we'd been there 2 years, you see, we started the beginning of the Dardanelles and towards the end of it. When they, you know, all was all over, we went home. So I said, Tiny, I said, that's the ship I want to go when we go home. And when I went to Chatham Dockyard, Chatham Barracks, there, see, because they said, oh, Brandy, got a ship for you. They couldn't understand it because I laughed. I said, that's all right. Don't you worry about it.
Mm.
See, when I thought myself, oh, I know it's a clean ship.
Mm.
Well, I don't know, I heard you talk about mines, we had destroyers, the Abdil, for fast fast, free speed, you see. Mm. The tram on lines, you know, like tram lines, small yes. tram lines, and we went to one on a minefield, and the skipper on the night time, we all everything was quiet, and the skipper sent for me on the bridge, Eastern Brown. He said, just keep the ship's company away from the break of the foot of the quarter deck, because he said, when we're changing the mine, you know, from as I went, the as they go, see, the end of the ship, like the quarter deck.
Yeah.
Well, he got, because he, one a destroyer and a metal ship. Next day, they called farm mines. See, result was that our skipper he got called decoration CB, and I got a cold. Yeah.
What is it like as a crusher? Did they were you very popular?
Well, I was in the depot. I was in the prison.
Mm-hmm.
A rough sum of you know rough men. Character, bad characters, but in a ship, it's according to what you think. You, it's your good nature where you take it, or it's your, you know, be awkward. But it's a very nice job. Tiny Abbott was my opposite number in the Lord Nelson.
Yes.
When we went home from the after like the Dardanelles, he was sent to as master at arms on the Faulkner. He was made master at arms, and the ship's company they made him his frock coat, you know, and his belt and sword for his Sunday. So that he was all right.
He was all right,
very
yes.
nice. Him and we did very well indeed. Him and I, because I had the letters and parcels and all that sort of thing. So
yes.
you know, sometimes the officers, the wardroom might come like they might perhaps come 10 o'clock at night, perhaps. They say, "All right, Brown, we'll help you." they'd turn what they don't want, they didn't want, but there's their own. They took their own, took them in forward, and all was left to me
to deal with the rest.
Still, it was good. I enjoyed it really. Of course, we only just fired over the. Because at the beginning, we fired used for night time. We was in parties for differential parties where the aeroplanes at night of a daytime you'd spot the positions, and then the guns would be you know pointed out from these different points. Of a daytime, but it's all gone for now.
Why did you join the Navy in the first place?
Well, my father was a drunkard. You see, because I come of a wrong family. My grandmother was Lady Jane, what's her name? Susan Russell. In other words, she was the youngest daughter, the fourth daughter, of eight children, which Georgina, the Duchess of
Bedford,
that's right. Did you know her?
No.
It's rather funny. They've got a rotten name, the Bedford family. You see, she was the youngest. She was the youngest of lot. There's a photo of her in Woman Abbey. It's still a photo of her. And the other two girls, three other girls. This is where Captain Bonham, what was my other name? But I no good in the Navy of me. Brown, and Brown it is.
Yeah.
As ever since. But my sisters, they call themselves Barnett Brown. See, he was Captain Barnett Brown, and he had a son, went with Lady Jane. He was at Eden, and he was chucked out of Oxford, and he was a horrible, a very nice man, but he was a drunkard. And so he was as a publican. He was no good at that. For a city. He worked for a city, a firm in, worked in the city. Then a publican in where I was born, up in by Baker Street there. And he was a cab proprietor. Well, he didn't used to take. He'd be so drunk he couldn't very. Their money for the different cabs, and the result was that he got drunk and he died. My mother, that's at Kilda, and where am I supposed to go? So I went in the Navy. That's all that. That's how I come to join.
What did you do? Were you at the? How old were we when you joined?
Because I taught one thing, you know, and one thing till another. I was
14?
18.
18.
I was a stoker.
Oh, I see, yes. Yeah.
Yeah, so then I went, because I went to just cleaning. And on the Great Western Railway, going cleaning, I went for to be an engine driver. But when I found, when they found out that my mother was cancer with cancer, you see, that's hereditary.
Yes.
So they said in years gone. I don't know whether they do now, but and she died of cancer. Or a broken heart, really. That's that caused the cancer, really.
Yeah.
Because she was the only youngest daughter. She was the oldest daughter of Harry Holmes. That was the guy, actor of Chapels, music people.
The music people.
You know, the ground land. They belonged to Kinsall, because my cousin Harry Holmes, that's my wife's youngest brother.
Yeah.
Excuse me.
Yes, go on. Go on.
The he's the boy, like as I am. See, because he's a little bit younger than I am. See, because she's as young. She was younger than my mother. Mm.
Yeah.
So, I mustn't grumble. I'm quite content.
Yeah. How long did you serve for then?
What say?
How long did you serve for?
Oh, I went to 1907, 1909.
Yes.
And then I packed up. Then I went to police. And then I came the for the war, and then I would come back again. Mm. The police were same in 1914. You know, when the war.
Yes.
Yeah.
And why did you come out again in 1909?
Well,
did you come out in 1909?
There was money then. There's there's many there.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Come. Yeah.
But I thought you said you came out in 1909. Yeah,
From the 1914, when the after the war.
Yeah, 1919.
That's it. That's when I went over where there was money. And when I was a publican.
Mm. Oh, did you?
Yes. Yeah. Well, because my father was a publican.
Yes. Yeah.
I was born in a publican.
Mm.
And
born
in a public house.
Mm.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, I mustn't grumble. Mm.
What did you like best in the Navy?
Well, I don't know. I enjoyed it all. All a lot of it. Of course, I went promotions because I was made. I joined as a second class soaker. See, then I got made a soaker first class.
Yes,
and then I passed as a leading stoker.
Yes.
See, and now I was speciality was double bottoms.
Mm.
As a matter of fact. That's, I was, I had eight men on, in the bunkers, trimming coal when the torpedoes. Well, the first thing I did was that I opened the doors and let them four men out.
Mm.
Because it was a terrible thing, you know.
Yes.
You see, dark hole, just one little lamp, one light, you know, with I think it's a terrible thing for them to feel like that.
Yeah.
But anyhow, the first I did, I strode them, went along the deck. Then I went to the. Went to the commander's office, the engineer's offices, and he said, "All right, Brown," he said, "get the keys and we'd better see what we can do." So I had about four for moving doors and for the unit to come down from below, you see. And the second one comes, so he said, "All right, Brown, help yourself." He's up, there's up you go, no good going. And of course, when I went up there, and being as I was a good swimmer,
yes,
I saw the others go in there, and I joined in with them. And I saw the skipper go, and he jumped to these. He's all his leaden books, you know,
confidential books.
Yes, he went down, he took them down. And rather a funny thing, his son, a captain in the Air Force, while I've been here, he wrote to me.
Oh, did he?
Yeah. Well, I don't know whether I was right or wrong,
mm-hmm.
but I simply told him that that the ship was going down, mm-hmm. and as the ship was going down, so the captain jumped.